RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Dan DeVone here on Christmas Eve. How do you spend tomorrow, Jersey Ken? What's going on in the household?
Oh, I got, I'm going to be cooking tomorrow.
Anything that me and my man Cam Williams would get excited over?
Well, I got a 10-pound prime rib if you guys want to jump in on that.
Say no more.
Yeah, dude. I go big on Christmas dinner. How about you?
So how are you preparing that thing?
Well,
you're going to roast it, right?
Yeah, I'm going to roast it, and then I'm going to reverse sear it.
What does that mean?
So I've been looking online for a bunch of different recipes, and the New York Times has a good one, but apparently when you're resting it kind of cooks too far past, because I want it like that nice medium rare color. And yeah, it cooks too far past. So I've seen this one where you'd take off the bones, like the rib bones, and you attach it to the fat cap of the prime rib roast, and you use that as kind of like a shell, like to kind of protect it. And then you roast it for a certain, to get to like 100 or 125 internal. And then when you take it out, you separate the rib bones from the actual roast, and you take the roast and you put some beef tallow in a pan and you roast it and you sear it to get that nice crispy crunch on the outside. And then when you slice it after it's set it for a while, the whole cap, including the inside, is that they coincide with the same color.
So you get that crust and then that tender sort of medium rare experience.
Right, because sometimes people overcook it and the cap on the outside of like the prime rib slice, it'll overcook and it'll be kind of like a, like almost, I don't want to say grayish, but like a little too brown, a little too like overdone.
That's seriously involved, man. You know what's going on. Have you been down here on Van Ness, the house of prime rib?
I haven't, but I've been to Original Joe's, which makes a great prime rib, although I didn't have their prime rib. I need to try both of them.
So the house of prime rib, I actually had buddies whose father, I think, used to own that back in the day. And so it used to be like a spot. But then California became obviously California when it came to red meat, which is something that a lot of people just didn't do. And it was not trending. It was not fashionable to go to the House of Prime Rib. But it's been around forever. And then all of a sudden, I would say over the last maybe 3 to 5 years, it's made this remarkable comeback. Maybe longer than that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like hard to get a reservation. I've tried to on like Resy or whatever, Open Table, something like that. It's like it's really hard to get a reservation. I heard it's better to just walk in and then they kind of find you a table as opposed to you trying to, you know, get one on the internet.
All right, so we have some more news about Steve Kerr. Not more news, but rather we're going to actually hear from Steve Kerr. We've been telling you what it is that he said today in the latest involving him and Draymond Green. There was a practice, and afterwards he addressed the media. Jersey Ken, can we play a little sound from Steve Kerr today?
I talked to the team. Draymond also talked to the team. We both apologized for what transpired. It was not a good look. As I said, it was on me as the coach to recognize the circumstances, and I did not do that. I let my emotions get the best of me, and it was not my, like I said, not my finest hour. But I also know exactly who Draymond is and exactly who I am. We want the exact same thing. And that's a good thing. And I think we're going to be fine. We're going to move forward from here, and I'm excited about what's ahead.
You know, now that I hear him, I might be with you. I don't know if he's covering up, but I think he went high road.
It's very PR, you know, sounding.
Yeah. It's funny because when I read the bite, it had sort of a different effect. Now that I hear him, I get the sense that, yeah, he doesn't want to pile on.
Right.
Like I think everybody sort of recognizes that it's been a rough week for Draymond. The last thing I need to do is, as the head coach and as sort of the adult in this relationship, is to add on and compound things and target Draymond, even though he was in the wrong here. So he didn't solely say it was my fault. I think he sort of said it was a joint ugly display on the part of both of us, and we both apologize. It's not a good look. And it certainly isn't. As the head coach and as an adult, you should not, especially when people are dropping that, so you know, how much money you're spending to sit and watch a Warrior game these days. You don't want to see that, man. And I think he just went high road on this thing. But I don't know that he's necessarily absolving Draymond Green entirely.
Well, that's the thing, though, because he said, because who was the one who walked out? Draymond. Draymond walked out on his team. I mean, he came back eventually, but he wasn't even in uniform anymore. He was in warm-ups. So to me, it's like, yeah, they're both wrong, I guess, but Draymond walked out. So to me, he's the one that's should be, you know, everyone should be pointing the finger at a little bit more than Steve Kerr.
Yeah, I think Steve Kerr's emotions after the game were a little bit more real, a little bit more raw when he said,
yeah, he was kind of like stone-faced, like, yeah, no, we got into it. And
he was asked whether there was, did he consider putting Draymond back in the game? And he without hesitation, said no. No, he left. He left. It wasn't that sort of demeanor today. Obviously, people cooled down, cooler heads prevail. But I don't know. I guess there's two ways to interpret Draymond Green getting up and leaving. The obvious is, what are you doing? Even Scottie Pippen, when he refused to go into a game, didn't get up and go to the locker room. Like, players have refused to go into games. That's happened before. But getting up and leaving and going to a locker room, obviously that can be interpreted as a new low for Draymond Green. And or a different way to spin this is, is that a bit of maturity in the part of Draymond where he's walking away from a situation that could get only uglier?
Well, that's what they were trying to spin it that way. And I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, I guess because he could have gotten worse, like you said. But to me, I think about, what about the younger guys? What do they think when Draymond walks out on the team? Like, that to me, that doesn't show leadership. And what does Jonathan Kuminga think? Because he's getting all these DNPs. And I don't know if Draymond's going to get a DNP.
I'm glad you mentioned, because we'll get into Draymond again. But the Jonathan Kuminga situation, that's just gotten weird now. So he does not play. And then he does play. But then he plays for 5 minutes or 9 minutes the other night against Phoenix. Then apparently he's hurt. And then he gets DNP'd against Orlando. He was healthy the other night. So I don't know how to read this any longer other than it's over. And I said this on Warriors This Week to Ev, and I was like, if he does get an opportunity to play again, which I'm assuming he will, right? If he does what it is that he's been doing, overthinking possessions, deferring to Steph Curry, making sure, as Shamari mentioned, that he works within the system because that's what he's got to do in order to stay on the floor. He's got to make sure that he gets other guys involved. If he does that again where he's thinking too much, shame on you, Jonathan Kuminga. You may as well, at this point, when and if you ever get run again, if you get some burn with the Golden State Warriors and you're back on that floor, shoot the damn ball, man. You may as well. I know he believes that he's the best player on the floor, and part of me believes that, you know, he can deal on just about anybody, whether he plays defense and all the other things, basketball plays and the little things. Yeah, I don't know that I can necessarily go there. But I do believe that he has the athleticism. If you were to clear a side, he could take the majority of wing defenders to the rack, or he can back you down and get into that little turnaround from about 18 feet. I think he's got an arsenal he could throw at you, man, especially if he's confident. Be that guy. You may as well. Because what's Steve Kerr going to do? Pull you? DMP you? Trade you? Newsflash, that's happening already.
Do you think he's doing... Again, I'm speculating here, but that's kind of what I like to do sometimes. Do you think he's doing it on himself? You think he's giving him... You think Kuminga is giving his own DMPs? Kerr's like, he could tell him, hey, Steve, I'm not playing tonight. Coach.
You know, there might be something to that, because it's gotten to the point where...
Like, he's showcasing here and there, and then when the trade deadline comes, you know, I'm still healthy. I don't risk injury.
I mean, that's a possibility, but what are the benefits? That you're just... You're healthy. There's some plausibility to that, because I think it's gotten to the point where it's just so absurd that maybe there's some internal workings here that we're not privy to. But I just don't know how that really benefits Jonathan Kuminga at the end of the day. And as a young player, you know, when you're in your early 20s, getting hurt is not something you really think about. It's something that LeBron James thinks about. It's something that Steph thinks about. As a young player, you just want to go. So I don't know what's going on there, but there's certainly something. And if it's Steve Kerr, we've reached the point of no return here. But it's the rock in the hard spot, because if I'm Joe Lacob, you know, and I pick up the phone and I talk to Steve.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Steve Kerr, I'm like, okay, even though I'm a Jonathan Kuminga fan and I'm a supporter of this player, if you do indeed want to move him, Don't we have to showcase him a little bit? Don't we have to get him some runs so we can show that he can actually be that guy? Shouldn't we tease a little bit? Is Steve Kerr just so entrenched in, no, man, I can't risk losing games at the expense of just putting this guy out there as a fat turkey so that we can get, you know, somebody to come in and buy this thing. It's so bizarre now with Jonathan Kuminga when you think about going back to the offseason where everybody was talking about him and the contract and getting traded. Not just here in the Bay Area, it was the story in the NBA. And then the beginning of the year, it's like, oh my God, it's Jonathan Kuminga. The light went on. He's that guy. He's part of the system. He's playing well. Jonathan Kuminga is going to be the third scorer. The Golden State Warriors are going to be okay because Jonathan Kuminga is finally that guy. After 4 years, he got it here in year five, and now we cut to today where we're in this situation where he just doesn't play. And it's not because he's hurt. It's simply because he's ineffective, and the Steve Kerr, Jonathan Kuminga song and dance continues. That guy has got to be traded. Jersey Ken, you're with me that has to end.
Yeah, I think it needs to, in a sense, just so we can be done with it, because the narrative just keeps going on and on. You know who we should have asked to go and figure out this Kuminga conundrum is Jeff Pearlman.
Yeah.
He would have been all in there. And I'm sure he will. Maybe he will eventually.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get a book, you know, 5 years down the road.
It's gotten that strange where Pearlman may find some nuggets in this thing.
If anybody could, I believe Jeff Pearlman can.
It's just, it's sad because I was such a big Jonathan Kuminga guy. You know, but I really think that when it begins and ends with this guy on the defensive side of the ball, I don't think it's the system and knowing where to be and making sure you get other guys involved. I think there's two things that this team needs. They need to get bigger. They get eight guards that play, and all of them are 6'4 and under. It's not like, we're not talking guards like 6'7 Klay Thompson. Not those kind of guards. We get small guards and they all get run. It's a small team and it's an unathletic basketball team.
The only one I like, honestly, out of all of them is Moody. I just every time I watch that guy play, especially because he can play defensively.
Well, but Moody, a lot like that of Pajemski, is just sort of inconsistent.
Yeah.
And I think that there needs to be more consistency from that of Moses Moody.
But I think Kerr needs to figure out the rotation first, and then let's see what you got.
Well, that's just it, man. We're at the one-third into the season. Usually at this point, it's you sort of, okay, I know the personality of this team. It's almost like sort of an extended tryouts. Like, okay, I know my personnel, and I know what it is that I can go with, and I can sort of reduce my roster, my rotation. And most teams are doing that. They're paring it down. They know the identity of their basketball team. They know their starting five. They know exactly who their sixth man is. They know the rotation in terms of 7 through 9. The Warriors are still going they played 13 guys the other night. They're still playing 13 dudes. And so, I don't know at what point, you know, it's easier said than done where Steve Kerr's like, okay, this is my rotation. How much longer are we? GP2 still seeing run. What more does he need to see? And GP2's playing well. So what does that mean at the end of the day? You can't play this many guys and quote unquote be good. It's not the way things are done. It just doesn't happen. And so at some point, Steve Kerr has got to make that decision as to, these are my guys, and stop with this playing everybody. But again, if you're playing that many guys, it's kind of like playing two or three quarterbacks in the NFL. If you got two, you got none. So if I'm playing this many guys, it just means that just nobody has stepped up and reared their head and taken a position. We thought maybe Pat Spencer did there for a little while. Speaking of Pat Spencer, I'm a Pat Spencer guy.
Love Pat Spencer.
You kind of look like him a little bit.
Yeah. We have the same facial hair, apparently.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. You know what? I know that Pajemski's been playing well, but he, a lot like Moody to me, is sort of inconsistent. I just need to see this over an extended period of time before I'm about to say Pajemski's that guy. And I know Pajemski is everything that I said Jonathan Kuminga is not. He's a guy that just isolate on this guy for like a stretch of 5 minutes throughout the course of a game. He is perpetual movement defensively. He is rotating. He's helping out. He doesn't quit on anything. If there's a loose ball, he's on it, man. He takes more charges than anybody. I can understand if I'm a coach why he plays, because it's the little things that people don't recognize or care about. He wants to impact every single play, especially defensively. So I get it. But the reason why I like Pat Spencer is because, first of all, Spencer hasn't been very good of late. And we talk about turnovers. And I heard Dunleavy the other day underlying saying turnovers, that's the main culprit. And as a result, Pat Spencer wasn't very good, especially in that brief time he played against Orlando. I think he had two turnovers, and that's not good when you only played a couple of minutes. But that's just a matter of getting him in the rotation, just saying, we're going to go with you. Because I do believe long-term, I buy Pat Spencer, and if it comes down between him and Pajemski, I like Spencer better than Pajemski. And the reason why I say that, I think he's more of a fluid basketball player. Maybe it's Pajemski in those black shoes. I have an issue with that, man.
I haven't even noticed that.
He just looks clunky, and just when he gets into his offensive set, it's just, it's awkward to me. And I just think that Pat Spencer is a guy that he immediately knows how to balance the floor. He knows how to where to go with the basketball. And I do think if this guy gets late in the clock and he's ISO, something tells me he can back you down. And kind of like his brother Cam, he's got some weapons there. Pajemski is just sort of this, it's all kneecaps and elbows and up and unders and these weird, maybe it's a left-handed thing. Maybe I have got sort of this bias against left-handed people where it's just sort of weird, man. He's not Chris Mullin smooth, who is probably the smoothest left-hander I've ever seen play basketball. Pajemski's the polar opposite, man. It's all kneecaps and elbows and that red floppy hair and those black shoes, and then he's got knee highs. It's just, I know that has nothing to do with anything at the end of the day. It's just a bad look.
It's the aesthetics that you have trouble with at this time?
I do. And I also think the game, I just don't think he's nearly as fluid as Spencer.
But I don't want to, and I don't want to take away what you're saying, because I kind of agree, but you also talked about the size factor. You know, Pat Spencer's smaller than Pajemski.
Well, I mean, yeah.
You know, but not by much, but I'm just saying, like,
neither one of them is a big guy. So yeah. At the end of the day, we're talking, what, 6'1 as opposed to 6'1.5?
But do you think that Pajemski can give you more intangibles than Pat Spencer, especially when it comes to the hustle play?
He can, but if it continues to be inconsistent, I'm looking at Spencer, because I don't think, for whatever reason, and I don't have anything to base this on, because he's playing extended minutes for the first time in his career, I have more confidence in Pat Spencer being a more of a consistent player if they go to him, or if he gets into the rotation and he has consistent minutes. I think he can be more of a consistent basketball player. And the Pajemski experiment, which spans over a year now, it just seems like there's what it is that we've seen over the last couple of games, and then he just goes away, or he's just not very good. But I think the problem in all of this, my man Jersey Ken, is that we're talking about Pat Spencer and Brandon Pajemski as being impact players. I mean, how good can you really be as a basketball team?
Right, and I think that's one of the biggest issues, too. And you said there's so many guards. Like, we didn't even mention DeAnthony Melton, who finally just got back from injury, and he's been having an impact.
I think DeAnthony Melton is just, you can see it. You can see the rust coming off of him. Like, DeAnthony Melton is just, it's not very good right now. It's just simply because he hasn't played. But once he gets the reps, once he gets his win, you can see it. You can see it, man. You can see You can see the wingspan. Like, that's an ideal number two on this team. I think he's an ideal two number anywhere. But I do think that once he gets to a point, and I said this earlier in the crossover, that the ideal lineup to me when everyone's healthy is D'Anthony Melton's your number two. And I know you're a Moses Moody guy, but D'Anthony Melton's got to be your two. Kerr, obviously, the one. Draymond, a front court of Draymond Green, Al Horford, and Jimmy Butler. I think this is when everybody's healthy.
I think Al Horford, by the way, is going to be returning soon. So yeah. we might see him.
And the sciatica is okay. Sciatica. That just seems like...
It's not a great feeling. Have you ever had it?
No, but that just seems like next stage is a walker.
It's like lightning in your legs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I got a friend who's passing a gold stone or what do they call the...
Kidney stone?
Kidney stone.
Oh, those are rough.
Yeah.
Those are rough. And I think it gets worse when you get older, obviously, like sciatica, because like Draymond, LeBron James had it, and he was sidelined for like, what, a month, you know, pretty much.
If you're getting sciatica, that should tell you something about the roster construct of that of the Golden State Warriors.
You should be talking to your marketing rep. Maybe you can get some advertising, do some advertising for sciatica.
I mean, usually lower extremity injuries, you know, you got something's wrong with the glute. You pulled the hammy, ACL's acting up, something's going on with the hamstring. Sciatica? Come on, man. What's next?
It's going around, Dan. People get sciatica.
Gout? Somebody on that Warrior team going to get gout next?
Listen, I've had gout. It's not fun, dude.
Could you fit into your shoe?
Oh, yeah. It's not like that. Apparently, if you drink too much whiskey or eat too much like shellfish, like shrimp, get gout.
And
I was doing too much.
And what happens?
Feels like you can't, like, it's like...
It concentrates on your foot, right?
Yeah, it's like, it feels like a bad bruise, and even, like, it hurts to the touch. Like, you can't even walk.
And that's it. That's because...
Gout is a really old people thing,
too much whiskey?
Though. I'm telling on myself. Yeah, apparently there's something in whiskey and something in shellfish, and then they correspond with each other.
One day you and I have to drink Japanese whiskey, which is something
I'm down. I love Japanese whiskey.
Really?
I love it. Yeah.
So there's something called Kira. It's got to be Kira barreled, which I've had, and it's pretty awesome, man.
Yeah, I'm totally down.
Yeah, so because I've had, obviously, we've all had some sake. Do we got to get to a break? Are we being sponsored by anybody that's any sake companies out there? You give me the sake, and I will pimp your brand right here. What's coming up on The Game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. That segment was sponsored by Ceremony Ford. Bay Area heads up, the Ford Final Day's year-end sales event is on now at Ceremony Ford. Get an extra $1,000 in bonus cash on new 2025 Fords, plus 0% APR for 60 months on F-150, Explorer, Escapes, Mach-E, Lightning, and Super Duty. Zero down, zero payments for 90 days. Ends January 2nd. Ceremony Ford, right off 280 or online at ceremonyford.com. Up next here on 95.7 The Game, put on your helmets. That's right. We're talking 49ers. We're talking what? NFC Championship game? Are you kidding me? Super Bowl? Is this team never going to travel again? How did this happen? We'll try and explain it. Dan Avone here on 95.7 The Game next.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Going to get into a little 49er talk, but I see the phone line and callers want to talk about the Golden State Warriors. So we'll wrap that up before we get into Brock Purdy and the San Francisco 49ers and this improbable run to a potential number one seed. And if I said that like a month ago, you would have locked me up and just said, Devone, no, you're sober, but you're not making any sense, and put me away. You know, I was talking about Japanese whiskey, right? So what's your go-to?
So I like the Balvenie. It's the Scotch whiskey, and to me, they just have so many different types that they use. They'll use, like, a Caribbean rum barrel. They'll use...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, there's just the different types of oak that they'll use, like, a lot of vanilla caramel, you know, tasting. I was actually just in Scotland this year, so that was a real fun trip, you know, tasting different types of whiskeys there, but...
So have you ever taken the trip to Kentucky?
No. Where, no, I've always wanted to. Yeah. Like it's like where like a lot of bourbon is, right?
Well, it's where all the bourbon is, yeah, in these parts. So, because they obviously don't do scotch here in the United States. I mean, locally.
Yeah.
So the reason why I mentioned this, so I bartered with this buddy of mine. His name's Peter. He's from the Netherlands, and he's a fisherman, right? Well, he's not a fisherman. He's this renowned painter here in town.
Does he know Ben Simmons?
Does not know Ben Simmons. Wait, I'm trying to make the connection.
Oh, because he didn't see that he's starting trying to get into pro fishing.
Is he really?
Yeah. Well, he figures out his NBA career. I'm not knocking him. I think it's fun.
Oh, knock him.
Good, man. For him.
Wow, that dude is just, he made his money. He was never bought in, and now he's fishing.
Hey, live your life, man.
Wow. Wow, I'm envious.
Sorry. Keep going.
Yeah, so this guy, he fishes, and literally he will do this, and he goes down to San Diego, and he gets like, I just hit him up last night. We do this exchange where I get him some Japanese whiskey, and he gives me those amazing like yellowtail, just salmon.
That's a great trade.
Bluefin, like amazing stuff. But I felt as though, because it was late, I scored on some really expensive sake, but he's like, nah, I don't want any more sake. Get me some Japanese whiskey. And... Well, the sake was good, but I felt like a shortchanged him because I went Suntory with him. But go ahead.
Real quick, do you drink it warm or cold?
Both.
Okay. I was going to say, I like it warm, but yeah.
You like what warm?
Sake. I think, yeah. I feel like it just, I don't know. It just has a better flavor to me. Cold tastes weird.
Yeah. I mean, they warm it up usually. Are you talking about when you're eating with sushi or just when you're...
I think at a dinner, I think, and that's the first time I had it. So I was like, oh, it's warm. Cool. I loved it. And then I had it cold and I was like, ah, this doesn't feel right. So yeah. my first time having it warm, it's got to be that way.
So people that drink sake will drink it cold. Like people that really know, they'll drink it cold. It's sort of like, you know, have you ever had tequila with people who drink tequila? Because typically, I'm either chasing it or I'm shooting it. You know, it's the end of the night. But people that drink tequila will drink it as their drink. They'll sip it. And you sort of, when you do that, you begin to get exposed and recognized to a lot of the nuance of the drink as opposed to just getting, you know, the fast track to happiness.
Yeah. I think like tequila is like, again, it's up there with whiskey, I'd say.
Oh, so you know
you could sip it. Like it, really good tequila, you could sip. I don't know if you ever had Cascoin, but that's a, like a big, you know, Mexican like tequila is pretty good.
Blanco?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's or Añejo.
All right, let's get back to the Golden State Warriors. My man Gene's hanging out in Oakland talking about the Warriors, and they apparently need some help. Gene, what's on your mind, man?
Hey, guys. Once again, I find myself pretty much aligned with all your takes, including the whiskey. Scotch whiskey is my favorite, always has been. But as far as the Warriors go, you just came up with a lineup that I predicted or wished we would have early in the season. Basically, Curry, De'Anthony Melton, once he came back and was, you know, integrated into the system, Horford, Draymond, and Butler. So, De'Anthony's definitely a number two. I like Moody, but I see him as coming off the bench as being much more effective. The only question I have right now is regarding Horford, because he has been a disappointment up to now. My question is it because of his injury problems, or do you think he's you know, coming close to the end? Because what I really would like to see more is more post. I really like what I'm seeing from him. I think he's really coming around, and I think he can be and should be a solid, traditional center at some point. Still learning, but I want to see more from him, and I want to see him getting more leeway in the future. Your thoughts?
Gene, we'll see you on Saturday. Well, actually, there's no Warriors this week, but thanks for calling in, buddy. I'll give you my thoughts on post, and I'll talk about Horford. And I think those are two indictments of where the Warriors are at right now. When your two starting centers and the guys that you're going to lean on are Horford and Quentin Post, it not only speaks volumes of how you're lagging when it comes to being competitive in the NBA, in today's NBA, but also specifically in the West. And also, when you're reliant on playing eight small guards, and your centers are Al Horford and Quentin Post, it also tells me that the NBA is headed in another direction where the big has returned in a lot of ways, especially when you look at the landscape of the top of the West. And the Golden State Warriors are rolling out Quentin Post and Al Horford, and then eight guards who see time, and eight small guards. You're playing eight small guards and Quentin Post and Al Horford. That to me just, it jumps out at me that your roster construction here, it's a little bit outdated. You might be a little bit behind the times here. Because when you look at the West right now and you think about bigs, they're loaded and every team has one. Yeah, Quentin Post has been good, and I know a lot of people are getting in line behind Quentin Post and are buying what it is that he's selling these days. He's just very limited. He's just limited because he's not an athlete. And I don't mean an athlete like that of Jonathan Kuminga. You're not going to draw plays for Quentin Post, have him clear aside and let him, you know, take somebody off the dribble. No, that's not what I mean. I mean an athlete like being able to move your feet laterally, to be able to stay in front of a guy defensively. And I know a lot of people think he's improved defensively. To me, he's still a big, clunky, oversized dude who can shoot threes occasionally. I that's not hating on him. It's just I can only invest so much in a guy like that at Quentin Post. And what I should be investing in him and a good team is that he's a role player, that he can come in and occasionally stretch the floor. I can't have him be my starting center. I can't have him get as much run or be as significant of a contributor as he has been. That just means that I'm deficient in that area. And as far as Al Horford is concerned, look, this always happens to players when they get to 39 or 40. At some point, I know we want to romanticize and they were invested and all in on Al Horford because he's smart. He plays the Warriors way. and he won a title. He's got the pedigree. But I always say this, that older players sometimes just, they're ready for the pumpkin patch. Then it just hits them, it's over. And it's just time, put me out on the pumpkin patch. And he might be there. I don't know that. I mean, hopefully it's just the sciatica. And I shouldn't say just, but maybe it's just an injury. But sometimes it's time to go to the pumpkin patch. There's nothing more to rinse out of you. And that's on the Warriors for, of all the big men that were available, there's Miles Turner or Mark Williams or whomever. I know some of it just don't fit financially. But for you to be all in on Al Horford for a team that already, quote unquote, was old, that never made sense to me. And hopefully he can come back. Hopefully he can be the guy he was with Boston just over the last 2 years, or last year, where he was a good player. But sometimes, you know, the patch comes calling and nobody sees it. And you're a pumpkin and it's done. And that's the risk you take on when you're investing in guys of this age. So the center position on a league that's getting bigger, the Warriors are clearly inferior. God, you look at the top of the West now. OKC, remember OKC? You know who the number two seed is, Ken?
San Antonio. Okay. Yes, sir.
Here they come, man.
Yeah, they look so good in that tournament, that cup tournament, especially against OKC.
That was a fun game.
I was like, this is playoffs.
Well, you know what? I think that might be, we could be looking at that matchup hopefully for like the next decade, right?
And then you throw in the Mavericks, Cooper Flagg in that mix. Dude, but I mean, West is tough.
The Chet Holmgren, Wembanyama, all those young players, they could be looking at each other and vying
for Vassell, Vassell Castle. Yeah, man, they're going to be household names.
Dylan Harper, yeah. Ooh, man.
Nasty.
Not to mention that, you know, Fox, still a very good basketball player. Harrison Barnes gives you the veteran leadership. We thought that they were 2-3 years away. Could be this year.
I think that's the fun part, too, because it looked like OKC was just going to keep running the West. No one can touch them.
People thought they were going to win 74 this year.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm glad someone's, you know, can compete at least with them.
And you're right. I'm glad. One thing we'll see tomorrow, and obviously there's going to be the pomp and circumstance first with Draymond. How's that going to be? How awkward is that going to be? We'll get over that. And then I think Cooper Flagg is the guy that everybody's going to be focusing on tomorrow, because you should. Cooper Flagg is 19 years of age, but he is, and I was not a Cooper Flagg guy, Duke, because I just don't like Duke. But Cooper Flagg is a hell of a player, man. They're going to him in crunch time. Like, he's the guy, not Anthony Davis. It's like, let's draw up a play. The game's tied. There's 10 seconds left. All right, let's give it to Cooper. Because Cooper Flagg is absolutely for real on that basketball team. And now that AD, they're playing much better. So watch out for Dallas. It's going to be a fun game tomorrow. All right, let's get out to Leo, hanging out in San Francisco. Wants to talk a little bit more about the Warriors. What's up, Leo?
Hey, how you doing? Happy holidays.
You as well.
All right. Hey, just a quick thing about Draymond. Let me preface this by saying I'm not a big Draymond Green fan. I respect him in terms of as a ball player, but that's about the extent of it. But I will give him props for the other day, and maybe he learned this lesson during therapy after the 20-plus game. He extricated himself from that situation. He realized he was out of control. And, you know, he moved himself away from it, and I think that was probably the best course at that point in time. So I'll give him props for that. So the bashing of this situation, you know, that he gave up on his team, quit on his team, let's stop that nonsense. I think the bottom line was he realized he was out of control and he needed to remove himself from the situation. So, you know, move forward with that. But the other thing I want to say is, you know, I've been saying this for a couple of years, you know, there's really two decisions to be made this at the trade deadline. One is to go all in again and try to get some pieces, you know, to go for that fifth ring. I think people who believe that are delusional. First of all, they don't have enough in terms of young players and draft choices to get that done, to get anybody that would, like Giannis, that's not going to happen, number one. And secondly, I think at some point, you know, 4 championships in 10 years, I think the realization is, hey, not all teams can go on forever. And I think at some point in time, the Warriors have to decide, Lakers have to decide, hey, maybe it's time to say at the deadline, maybe we trade Draymond, maybe we trade Butler, whatever we can get, and move on. And if Steph wants to move on, unfortunately, you know, that's his right. He's earned that right. If he's still, you know, gunning for that fifth championship, and he wants to go someplace else. But at some point in time, they got to retool, and they keep putting it off and putting it off. They had done this a couple years ago, you know, maybe right after that last championship, and you miss that next season and didn't get anything done. Maybe it's time to just say it's time to rebuild. And I think the fans have to give the organization some grace and allow them the opportunity to do that and then try to rebuild this thing.
Yeah, I'm with you, Leo. Thanks for the call, man. You got to stay in front of that thing. You got to stay in front of it. It's hard to do. It's hard to do. And Steve Kerr said today, what's the line again, Ken, from Steve today about the dynasties?
They're a dying dynasty.
They're a dying dynasty. That's not the only thing.
Not dead said. Yet, though.
Yeah. We want to contextualize it. That's not all he said. You have to put it in its proper context. But he did say that, and he's not saying that it's over, and he's not saying that they can't win an NBA championship. He's just recognizing that this is a very different version of the Warriors than, say, 2016, or I think he mentioned 2017. And clearly that's the case. It doesn't mean that you can't win. But
sorry,
I'm one of the...
It was a fading dynasty. I just want to make sure people know
that. A fading dynasty. Yeah. And it is. But it's this. These things, look, I know I'm reiterating the obvious that they never end well. Yeah, that's true. The only way that you're able to move forward is that, like that of San Antonio, is that you got to infuse it with some new blood. You know, you got to find a Kawhi Leonard. And I always hearken back to the opportunity that presented this, that presented itself. And it was really sort of strange because they still had this core, and this core was still very much in their prime, you know, early 30s. You know, we're talking about Steph and Clay and Draymond. And for whatever reason, they got an opportunity to pick in the lottery, man, twice. And they whiffed both times. And I really think that when you talk about timelines, the opportunity to sort of, you know, pass this thing down, that was your chance. And now, you know, now it's tough. Now it gets really difficult. Now you're talking about trading one of those lottery picks and Jonathan Kuminga. But it's not impossible, man. Like, it's just, you know, the idea that you got to get into this rebuild for the next 10 years, or once the dynasty's over, well, then let's all just sort of like be like that of Utah, or be like that of Washington or Charlotte, and just be irrelevant and try and build through the draft. That's not the only course. Look at the Boston Celtics. Now, granted, you know, the Boston Celtics may have been in a little bit more of a better position, but that was a team after they lost their best player. And they reface that team. They get rid of Porzingis. They get rid of Horford. They get rid of everybody, and they're basically saying, okay, that window closed, and now we're going to get into a rebuild. They're the number three or four seed? Four seed in the East?
And I wouldn't even say rebuild. I'd say retool, maybe, because they still have guys. And who knows if Tatum can come back in April.
And so I guess my point is that, you know, and Phoenix was another team that we were like, my God. There is nowhere to go last year. You got these bloated salaries. You know, we got Bradley Beal. What a mistake that was. Oy vey, Kevin Durant, Booker, even DeAndre Ayton, who we got rid of the year before. All these huge names and contracts. We thought we were going to win titles, and we made that one run, and it's just a mess. This is going to be a five-year rebuild. Team's over 500, man. It's just a few pieces, and you know, you make a trade here and you sort of change the energy and, you know, things. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be, you know, not in our lifetime that we're going to see the Warriors playing good basketball again should this iteration of the Golden State Warriors come to an end. But in the here and now, it's all about how is this going to end when it comes to Draymond and Steph and Jimmy Butler. The trade deadline, I think, is going to be very, very, If you were to ask me a couple of weeks ago, I would have told you, and this is when Spencer was doing his thing, that Pajemski could be on his way out, Jonathan Kuminga for sure, Moses Moody. Like, there was going to be a lot of players and a huge shakeup. And I don't know that that's necessarily the case unless, you know, I'm being sold a bill of goods by that of Dunleavy and Company that they're they're going to stay in house.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't think Warrior fans would. Do you think? I mean, maybe they will, but if they lost a guy like Brandon Pajemski or De'Anthony Melton or, you know, Moody, any of these guards we've been mentioning, you think they'd really like mourn their loss? You know, it'd be like, okay, good. Let's see what we got.
Yeah, you got to do something here. The one thing I will say about the Warriors, though, is when you lose this is when you know it's over. When you become the Clippers, who are an old basketball team, but when you look at the team, it's still, I mean, they still got Kawhi. Kawhi's still balling to a certain degree. Harden's still Harden. I mean, they still got players on that roster, but you know what they don't have?
Wins.
They don't have any youth, and they have no energy. And so when you watch the Clippers play, it's the first thing that jumps out at you is like, God, this is so stale. Like, what's missing here? Well, I'll tell you what's missing is you don't have any young legs, man. That always has, if you have an older team, that's one thing. But there has to be the balance of these young players that you infuse in that older team. Like, that's almost a prerequisite. It's like, okay, you find yourself in this rock and a hard place. You're not going to move Draymond. Jimmy Butler is what it is. And, of course, Steph is going to stay here. You can get the most out of these guys. There's going to be, obviously, load management. We got to watch their minutes. There's going to be games that they don't play. Al Horford's not going back-to-back. That means that there's even more of a need of young players and young players with promise to bridge that gap. The Clippers don't have anything. The Warriors have something. They got a Will Richard. Pajemski's young. Moses Moody's young. But the question becomes, are they any good? Like, are they collectively just sort of meh? Or are we still hanging on to, no, they're going to take a step. No, they're still young. No, Pajemski's only 22, 23. You got to let this thing breathe. They're going to take that next step. Is that step ever going to come?
I mean, I think with a 13-man rotation, how will we ever know that? You know, I think Steiny was saying it's like hockey. You kind of wish it's like these guys are just getting put in and put out like a hockey line. Like, who's third line, you know, for the Warriors right now? You don't know. You don't know who the first line is because it's ever changing. And I think that's the issue right now.
All right. We're going to get into the San Francisco 49ers when we get to a break here. Because I want to go 49ers. Unless, of course, somebody wants to chime in on the Warriors. And we'll get you ready for tomorrow's huge contest. You want to talk a little bit more about Draymond, we'll do that. But the 49ers, here we're going full 49ers here for a little bit. And Jersey, I'll just to sort of tease this getting into the break. Are you surprised, first of all, that this team is playing for an NFC championship? And are you buying? Are you buying this version of the 49ers? Or is this, as we have a tendency to do, not just here in San Francisco, but every 49er fan or every football fan that has ever lived, are we just overreacting and living in the moment of a very good victory over the Indianapolis Colts?
See, I'm buying it now, but I don't know if I'm going to buy it in week 18 when they have to actually, or even this Sunday, Sunday, when they have to play the Bears, who are an actual good team, because clearly, you know, they can beat the bad teams. And not saying the Colts are a bad team. They're kind of mid-level, especially at this point, going with 44-year-old Phillip Rivers, but I just don't think they've been battle-tested enough, and that's not their fault. They've had a soft schedule, you know, this year, but I'm buying in now, but I don't think I will once they get into the playoffs.
Yeah, that Phillip Rivers was hilarious. I shouldn't say it was hilarious because he was so damn good.
He done a lot better than I would have expected.
When you see that, you feel as though you're like, it was like you were living one of those 30 for 30 moments. Like, I'm actually witnessing a documentary in real time.
I'm sure there'll be one.
Like, how is this happening?
Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, but also at the same time, you look at the other side and you're like, well, the Niners' secondary must be really bad then if a 44-year-old guy is just throwing darts in the end zone.
Yeah, it's secondary, but it's that defensive line, man.
Like, I mean, the whole defense, right?
I don't mean to squash the Niners' Super Bowl hopes. And I hope I'm wrong because I'm just saying this off the top of my head. I'll give you an opportunity to call in, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. When's the last time a team, I don't know, went to an NFC championship, went to a Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl, without somebody coming off the edge, without at least having somebody who's a threat to sack a quarterback. You know, I looked this up. The worst defensive rated team to win a Super Bowl was that wild card Eli Manning-led New York Giant team the first time. But that was Strahan and those boys. When's the last time we had a team that does not have an edge rusher that is a threat in terms of being somebody that's going to get to the quarterback? Has there ever been a team that's won a Super Bowl without one of those? The answer to that, hopefully you guys will provide it here on 95.7 The Game. We're talking Niners, and we'll be back right after this.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.